Celebrating because we've reached the end of a really long stretch of sermons on suffering. Seriously, though, I've been promising you a more lighthearted, feel-good sermon after all of those heavy ones. Today, our focus shifts to the lighter side of life. And celebrate the positive things to be found in life together this morning. So, yes, obviously suffering is a significant part of life. It causes anguish on many levels, just even the mental anguish of trying to figure out why life is the way it is, why there is suffering. And we've been pondering that a lot over the last few weeks, couple months here on Sunday mornings. But it would be a mistake for us to only concentrate on the difficult things in life and the pain, because there is so much more in life than that. So our task for today is to think about the good things in life. So here we go. There is so much more to life than suffering. There is actually an awful lot of good to be experienced in this world, both moral goodness and just good things to experience. And in terms of good things, I'm just going to start right off with coffee. I used to manage coffee shops, and you know what? I still love sitting in a Caribou or Starbucks and, you know, snacking on pastries and sipping my dark roast coffee. It's a beautiful thing. I also praise the Lord for the Keurig machine in my office, which gives me a little bit of joy each day. Coffee's one of the great things in life. Maybe for you it's Sundrop. I know that's true. Diet Pepsi for Joni. Coca-Cola for me, actually. I would put that also on my list of great things in life, Coca-Cola. Oh, boy, and then there's all that good food out there, whether it's a good old home cooking or going out to a restaurant. There's a lot to experience and taste, and it makes us happy. Sometimes we overdo it a little bit, right? No. But it's a good thing in life. According to thetop10s.com, here are your seven favorite foods in America. Number one is pizza. I don't know if they polled anyone or they just wrote this, but pizza was number one on the list. We stopped for Chicago-style deep-dish pizza on our way to Baltimore on our mission trip a couple summers ago, and I'll just be honest with you, it was one of the highlights of the trip for me. Not the only highlight. There were many spiritual highlights, but eating that pizza was one of the highlights. It's so good. Number two, chocolate came in number two on the list. Yes. Right. Number three, ice cream. We may have lost Kennedy's Bakery, but we do still have Dairy Queen. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Number four, steak. Number five is, all right, yeah, I should give you some time to react, yeah. Number five is French fries. Number six came in at burgers. All very American here, isn't it? Juicy Lucy, anyone? Number seven. Cole Robertson, can you tell me what number seven is on the list? Bacon, I knew you would get it. Tom Bacon. Your namesake. We've learned in the young adults group that there, in Cole Robertson's world, there are three meals. His lunch, supper, and then the morning one is bacon. So, can't blame him. It is. There's no doubt about it. So, my goodness, we enjoy food so much that there are entire TV channels dedicated to talking about food, watching people eat food, watching people make food, and we'll just sit and watch that for hours, won't we? Food is one of the great things in life. How about beauty? We all enjoy looking at beautiful things, and the Lord has certainly left us many things along those lines to find. I have milked these particular slides a few times on Sunday mornings, but I'm going to use them again. They're still effective. I'll just let Teresa flip through. We've got waterfalls and sunsets and colorful birds, which I sometimes call to myself flying flowers. The fish that live on coral reefs, which could be called swimming flowers, I believe. I mean, there's beauty. And God's summertime colors of green and blue, and then that picture of the blazing orange of fall. And okay, winter may not be comfortable, but it is beautiful when you're in your warm house and looking out at it. It is beautiful. Flowers themselves, I think you saw an orchid up there, just intricate and amazing stuff. And then, yeah, gazing out at the stars at night and the moon, there's a lot of beauty, so much good to be experienced. Well, how about music? What would we do if we didn't have music to enjoy? My goodness, it's a marvelous thing. Well, it's about time I do this for you, speaking of music. You know that I have a love for music. I was a music major in college, and then I sang in a Christian a cappella group called Go Fish for about 5 years after college. What I really would have loved to do for you this morning is to have grabbed the Dempsey Boys or somebody and come up here now and sing a cappella quartet song for you, but boy, that takes time to put together, time I didn't have. So what I'm going to do instead in our celebration service of the good things in life today and our look at music now is... After 4 years, I am now going to play for you a Go Fish song from the CD that I was on. I was thinking about showing you some video that I have too, and then I remembered it's all on VHS, which tells you how long ago this period of my life was. So sorry, no video. I do, however, have the picture of the back of our CD cover that'll be up on the screen while the song plays. Let's hope if this works. I'm sure you'll all enjoy the picture. So again, the reason to play this for you is just this theme that music is a gift from God. We should have fun with it and enjoy it. I chose a short song. It's only 2 minutes. And since you're going to wonder and probably ask me later, I'll tell you up front, I am the high singer in this group. Let's try it.
Well, I was 7 years old when my daddy said to me,
said, son, you can be whatever you want to be.
I knew right away what I had to do. See, rock and roll called my name, and that's true. I like to sing, I like to dance, and I like to jump around, and I like to make you smile with that a cappella sound. I praise the Lord with my hands, I praise the Lord with my feet, and the feeling that I get when we harmonize, well, I know it can't be beat. Well, I'm older now, but my feelings are the same.
I love the way I feel when I call up on his name.
The music is a-rockin' and we're feeling fine. Jesus is the reason that we're here tonight. I sing, I like to dance, and I like to jump around, and I like to make you smile with that a cappella sound. I praise the Lord with my hands, I praise the Lord with my feet, and the feeling that I get when we harmonize, well, I know it can't be beat.
Rock it, go.
I like to sing, yeah, I like to dance, bang, bang, to harmonize, clap my hands, yeah, to sing, I like to dance, and I like to jump around, and I like to rock the house with that acapella sound. I praise the Lord with my hands, I praise the Lord with my feet, and the feeling that I get when we harmonize, I love the way it feels when we harmonize. Well, I know it can't be beat.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. It's your bald pastor. And what was going on in my life 20 years ago, 1997 is when that came out. But anyhow, music is a gift from God. We should have fun with it, enjoy it. That was the point of that. So whether or not it is coffee or food or beauty or music, I have this to say about all of that, and it's from James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Praise the Lord. Well, those are good things to enjoy in life, but it's not the only goodness to be found in the world. There's also moral goodness to be seen here as well. Human beings are not only cruel to each other, that certainly does happen, but humans also can be very good to each other when we say kind words to each other or encourage people, when we bring meals to a person who's struggling or visit them when they're lonely. I mean, just think of all the advancements in medical science that have happened over the years. I mean, as a pursuit, that largely, in its essence, is about helping people not to suffer, right? Think of all the money that's given to charitable causes around the world each year. I suppose some of it is given for less than virtuous motives, but much of it is given out of a desire to help people. This is good behavior. There's goodness. So, sometimes people act in evil and cruel ways, but humans sometimes get it right and perform acts of incredible sacrificial goodness to each other. There's good to be found on this planet, good things to enjoy, and good moral behavior to be observed and experienced. There's goodness here. There's so much more to life than suffering. There is also an awful lot of love to be experienced in the world. Well, we can all think of plenty of examples of dysfunctional human relationships, but there are the functional ones too, right? The healthy ones. And really, though, that is what makes life rich. For one summer, I lived in Wabasha, Minnesota by myself. Didn't know anyone there. I think I've brought this up to you before. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. It was a summer of study for me, intentional aloneness, self-inflicted isolation. And I used to go jogging back then, as I do still today. And, you know, this is the River Valley and kind of out of the city. So it was just a gorgeous running path. A lot of that green and blue and the trees and flowers and wildlife and the occasional opening to a fenced-in grassy hillside where there were horses grazing. It really was quite beautiful. But as much as I enjoyed running on that route, I was struck that summer that my enjoyment of it was limited because I was alone. It actually rang kind of hollow, enjoying that beauty on my own. So one thing I learned that summer is that life is not quite as enjoyable if you're alone. Now, this, of course, is the cause of some of our suffering. When a spouse dies or leaves, we have to soldier on by ourselves, or if we haven't been able to find a spouse, this causes suffering in us because God made us as relational creatures, just as God is a relationship within himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It seems kind of an odd thing that I couldn't fully enjoy the beauty of the Wabasha countryside because I was by myself, but it was true. Now, I didn't need a spouse to be with me there or a family member. Any friend would have made that more enjoyable. you would have been my number one choice, Anna. My point is that it doesn't need to be a spouse. We can have friendships. And it would make that kind of thing more enjoyable. Thankfully, good relationships can be found in this world. There is love to be found. Some people do find spouses in good marriages. Hopefully, we all at least have some family members that we have healthy relationships with. Hopefully, we all at least have one or more good friends with whom we can enjoy some of life together. The point is that it's out there. Healthy relationships, love, these things are available. They're possible. And when we find them, it's great. And the goodness and love that we do see in the world, it's there because God put it there. Amen. It's there because the one who created the universe is love, according to 1 John 4. It's there because the Creator God is goodness, according to Psalm 34 and Psalm 100. The creation got all messed up from sin, but God's fingerprints are still to be seen upon it. Of course, there's this, 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. There's love to be found on this planet. Well, let's keep going with all these wonderful things about life. There's so much more to life than suffering. There is also an awful lot of meaning and purpose to be experienced in the world. Bible says we have a purpose. There was both an original purpose for us in the beginning, before sin, and then there has been an additional purpose added because of sin. Let's start with that original purpose. Part of our original purpose, as we've actually discussed here in recent weeks, is simply to be loved by God. God created us because he desired us, I believe, and I think the analogy would be a married couple who decides to expand the love that they share by having a baby and sharing their love with that baby. I believe God made us because he desired to live with us and be with us and shower his love and goodness upon us, we being his children. So we have this original purpose of simply being in relationship with God and with each other. It's like this big circle of love. God loves us, we love him, we love each other. That was the intent, I think. You can see a second aspect to our original purpose in the first two chapters of Genesis. Here's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move on the ground." And Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it, and to take care of it." So here's part of our original purpose as well. To rule over the earth, to work it and take care of it, not to exploit it, ruin it. We are to work it and take care of it. Two aspects then to our original intended purpose. And you know, even though sin messed everything up, I actually believe that both of these purposes are still there for us. Absolutely, we're still called into that loving relationship with God. He's trying to restore that for us and for whoever will listen. And we're called into loving relationship with other people within the church and beyond. So that's all still there, thanks to God's grace. I think parenting falls under that category too. Kids join into this big circle of love between God and that we have with God and each other. They just kind of hop on in. Be fruitful and multiply, God said. And he said that before the fall. That was part of our original intention. Be fruitful and multiply. And oh, the joy and meaning and purpose that comes from parenting. Or for those who don't have children, the meaning and purpose that can come from aunting or uncling. Grandparenting. Being a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless, there are many ways of investing in children and being involved. You know, I use my kids as examples all the time. I'll try to keep this short, but this past Tuesday for me was an example of this, how kids bringing meaning and purpose to life, and on top of that, a lot of joy. I got to take Maya to her first Twins game on Tuesday, and it was awesome. It was awesome. Okay, so I went in with absolutely no hope of actually watching the game, so there was no frustration involved at all. Okay, I knew what I was getting into here with my four-year-old. But God gave us a beautiful night to be at the ballpark, and we had a blast. I've told a few of you this story already, but I'll share it with everyone now. Maya, as expected, was all about the mascot, TC Bear. All right, and he was on the field when we got there, and it became clear soon that Maya was expecting me to take her down onto the field and introduce her. And so I had to explain, I couldn't do that. Then when he left the field, she said, "Dad, let's go look around and find him." And I was like, "Oh, okay, honey, we'll go look, but I'm really thinking we're probably not going to find him." Well, guess what? We found him. We found him. He was taking pictures in the third inning. And she got to take a picture with him and hug him. And then a little bit later, when there were no kids standing in line, she ran back over there. And I think he was starting to tell this was a big deal for her. And so he got down on his knees and put his nose up against her face. And then he stood up and... almost emotional. He stood up and... good old TC Bear. He put his big furry paw into his big furry pocket, and he pulled out a baseball card, a TC Bear baseball card that he had signed with a line, you know, and gave it to her, and it was just a great moment. And I have a picture for you, but don't let it confuse you, because she's not smiling in the picture. This really was an awesome moment, a big deal for her. And there she is with TC Bear. And here's another one that was taken before we met the real TC Bear. There was a lot of anticipation. And then one more picture for you there from our Tuesday. So there are very many hard things in life, but there are also some really good moments. We need to celebrate them. There's purpose and meaning available to us. Okay, how about that second original purpose? I think that one's still there too, this one of working the earth and taking care of it. Many of us here enjoy gardening. A good number of you are gardeners on a massive scale. You are farmers. Okay, we work the ground and we work with plants to bring order to them, to bring goodness from them, and it's satisfying work. I've enjoyed my landscaping this last summer. I think this goes back to our original purpose and intent. And just imagine what it was like for Adam and Eve to do gardening without any thorns or weeds. So much better. And really, this purpose for us is not only fulfilled by working with our hands in the dirt. Any job or hobby that you have from which you take satisfaction, either out of enjoyment from the contributions you are making to people or to the world or to the business you work for, all of this relates in a sense, I think, to that original tension God had for us of ruling over and working the earth, taking care of it. We were given meaning and purpose by God when he created us originally. I believe we still have much of that available to us still today. And then I said a moment ago, an additional purpose was added in when the human race fell to sin. Stated more clearly for us when Jesus came. It's called the Great Commission. And Jesus asks all of his followers to go into the world, tell of his love and the possibility of salvation from sin. We're called to share the gospel and to seek to make disciples. We saw in our 2 Corinthians sermon study that we're called to be light and to be the aroma of God in this world, to be the ambassadors of God in this place. When you become a member of the kingdom of God, you are given this additional responsibility as well, this additional purpose as well, and it is a grand one. So we can find meaning and purpose in life, whether it's simply from being in relationship with God and with others, whether it's from the satisfaction from our work or helping children flourish, or whether it is from wrapping yourself into God's grand plan of saving souls for eternity. Meaning and purpose is available to us. It's out there for us to find on this planet. One last one to mention. There's so much more to life than suffering. There is also an awful lot of joy to be experienced in this world. And you know, I'm going to include the word fun here too, even though I know they can be very different things. God is the creator of laughter, my friends. I'm going to put up this my favorite picture of Jesus laughing again for you on the screen. There's an awful lot to cry about in this world, and we cannot forget that God created laughter. You know, people can really be funny. And even for those of us who aren't typically funny, there just often is a lot to laugh about in life together, right? And then there are those people who have the talent at being funny, some of whom use that God-given gift to help others laugh. And that would be true of the people who made the short video I'm about to show you now.
Hello, website listeners. I'm not going to make you listen to a four-minute video that, in this case, will make no sense to you at all if you aren't able to see it. If you're in the mood to watch a really funny video after listening to this sermon, though, go to YouTube on the internet and then use the search function there to look for a video called Top Soccer Shootout Ever with Scott Sterling. And then it says the original one, and Studio C is the creator. So Top Soccer Shootout Ever with Scott Sterling. You want the original one from Studio C. It'll be worth your time. Now, back to the sermon.
There you go. Good stuff. So, Calvary, God created laughter. And I think we ought to laugh as much as we can in life and have some fun. Fun and joy and enjoyment can come from all kinds of different things. Humor like this, it can come from listening to good music, watching a really good movie. I think joy can come from learning, from discovering things that God has left for us to discover. It can come from those healthy relationships, of course, that we have with God and from and with others. I thought about showing you the clip of the Minnesota Twins rushing onto the field after they had won the World Series, but boy, we were just out of time in this sermon, so that was a very joyful moment in my life. So joy can come from sport, from athletics, from fishing, Joe. It can come from fishing. I took the youth group to Valley Fair on Wednesday in the rain, although it ended up being a blast anyway. Last year when I took them, it was the first time for a lot of these, you know, 13-year-olds, and we pulled into the parking lot there, and we were supposed to pull in and eat sandwiches that we had brought and then go, and they were just too excited. They had too many butterflies in their stomach. They couldn't do the sandwiches. There is fun to be had in life. Those are joyful, exciting times. The point is, there is joy. There is godly fun and enjoyment to be had in life. I think we ought to take advantage. Now, it should be said that we should not allow ourselves to fall into the trap of only living for entertainment. Okay, that's the American cultural thing to do, and we need to be very cautious of that. God has given us some very serious, very important tasks, things that are a matter of eternal life and death. We should never elevate entertainment over those things. But I don't believe that means that we can't have some fun and some enjoyment along the way. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There's joy to be found on this planet. Praise the Lord." Okay, before I move into my conclusion, I want to say this about God as well, and I really don't mean this flippantly. I think God is a partier. And I mean it in the most virtuous way possible. I think God is a partier. Look at what Jesus compares the kingdom of God to in Matthew 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything's ready. Come to the wedding banquet.'" Oh, sounds like a party to me. How about the parable of the lost son, who squandered his father's wealth in irresponsible living, only to come back penniless, humbled, and repentant? But instead of being angry with his son, the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." And so they began to celebrate. When a sinner is saved, Jesus is saying here, God is so jazzed about it, he's ready to throw a party. Think God's a partier. Well, what are the takeaways from all we've looked at here this morning? I'm going to give you two. The first takeaway I want to give you today is that we need to celebrate life. We need to celebrate life. We need to be partiers too, in the godly sense, while also being very sure to be all about the more important things and tasks that God has given to us as well. You already know that I think we should live life to the full. Enjoy life and enjoy God's creation. Psalm 139:14, David says, "I praise you, God, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." I know that full well. We got to enjoy it. Bible gives us encouragement to think about the happy things in life. See this from the book of Proverbs. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. A joyful heart is good medicine. Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. Don't focus on the things of the enemy. Let's focus on the good things from God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. So this is our first takeaway from this morning. We're to celebrate life. Let's live life to the full and look forward to the goal of reaching heaven, that place where there will be no more tears. Celebrate life. Second and final takeaway for today, then, is to celebrate God. Israelites made a habit of it through festival and feast. We could think of Moses' sister Miriam. After God had saved the Israelites from the Egyptians in that Red Sea crossing, she grabbed her tambourine and she led all the women there in singing and dancing, praising the Lord. We might think of the day the Israelites brought the ark up into Jerusalem, and David and all Israel celebrated with all their might, it says, before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. And when David's son Solomon later dedicated the temple in Jerusalem, all Israel bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good and his steadfast love endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered as a sacrifice 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. And they ate. It was one big party. All in celebration of their God, their creator, their savior. And we have just as much reason to celebrate God as they do, don't we? For he too has saved us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. In this, we greatly rejoice. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back forward now. We're going to finish our celebration sermon with some celebration of God. This God who has been so good to us. As the team comes, I want to say these final words. There's suffering in the world. It has come about because of sin. It's a very real and difficult fact of life. But there is so much on this earth beyond just suffering. Goodness, love, meaning, purpose, joy. God's fingerprints are still to be seen all over this place. Let's not miss it. Yeah, there's darkness in the world, but Jesus has overcome it. He will triumph over all suffering and pain and death. He said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light of life. I love that image. While we are in this world, let us celebrate life. Let us celebrate God. Now, in the spirit of Miriam and of David and of Solomon and the Israelites, we are going to join in celebration of our Creator God, if you would stand with us. And the words of Psalm 150 and King David will lead us into a time of worship and praise and celebration. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet, with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the timbrel and dancing, the strings and the pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
The Lord shall cause His glory.